Today's daf was Yakar Mipaz. Pei Zayin. And the Halakha Mishnah begins. Amra kodim te'enim v'anavim elu, shani to'emet. A woman who says, I will not eat these te'enim or anavim, and they're both osur on me as a kona. So if the husband hears, and the father hears, and he's mekayim for the te'enim alone, nonetheless the entire neder is kayam, kulo kayam. On the other hand, if he's mefer le te'enim alone, then no mufar achi yafer af la anavim. It is not considered to be a hafara unless he's mefer for the whole thing. Now, there's actually a very widespread machlokas we've shown him whether this means it's not mufar at all, or it means it's mufar only for the portion that is mufar, but it will not be mufar for the other portion until he's mefer that other portion. One should not ask, isn't there a halacha of neder shabbat or mitzvah shabbat or kula? Because that's only where in the Iker HaNeder, that was the case. Where there was a ta'ut in the neder, that would be in terms of a chacham. A chacham who's mater, or a person obviously made a mistake, I didn't mean to include my father, and so on. So there, in a chinami, either the neder exists or it doesn't exist. But since we're talking about a hafara here, and hafara is cancellation from this point on, not annulment, so whatever it is that the Torah gave him the power to cancel, it cancels. Okay, so this would be a major machlokas, and we'll see what it's dependent in the Girsaot and the Gemara to come. So either it means it's not Mufar at all, or it means only the part which is Mufar, but Anavim remain Asurim until such time as he's Mefer Afla Anavim. So we have a difference here between Kiyum and between Afar. Amra konim te'ina shani to'emet, va'anava shani to'emet. On the other hand, if she mentions shani to'emet twice, she doesn't simply include that vi, and rather says a separate ani to'emet, then areyelu shnei nedarim. We don't mean, of course, that because they're two nedarim, we require two separate acts of hafara, because we already said you can be made for 100 nedarim at one time. Call it a nedarim that are on you can be made for. It means it's two nedarim in terms of this, that if you're mekayim, one of them, the other one is not mekuyam, is they're looking at two separate nedarim, according to the other pshat, that you need to be made for both in order for any of it to be moved for. In this case, that wouldn't be true. Be made for one or the other. Mani matnitin, this is the Mishnah, who indeed is the author of our Mishnah, who sees the difference between the way in which one does hakama and the way in which one does hafara? It's clearly Rabbi Yishmael, the Tanya. Isha yikemenu, v'isha yiferenu. Therefore, says Rabbi Yishmael, amra konim te'inim v'anavim elu, shanito emet, kiyim l'te'inim kulo kayam, hefer l'te'inim enem ufar ad sheyafer af l'anavim. Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva Omer. So this is Rabbi Shmuel Shita. That's our Mishnah. The Hafara is only on the specific item, or it doesn't work at all until it's on all the items, depending on how we learn it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, not like our Mishnah. Harehu Omer, Isha Yikimenu, Isha Yeferenu. If we understand the word Yikimenu the way you clearly are understanding, namely that the word Yikimenu is a lashon of mimenu. In other words, we understand yikimenu, even a part of it, is considered to be a hakama. So then, if the Torah is comparing the two, so whatever is true by yikimenu, even though yiferenu does not have that mashmaut, in other words, yikimenu has a double meaning. Because menu means from it. So despite the fact that the mem is also the closure of the word yakim, but by putting the two together to read Yekimenu instead of Yekimoto, you're creating a double meaning. Yakim, part of it, Mimenu, and that's sufficient. As well as Yakim Oto, you see. When it comes to the Yeferenu, of course, it doesn't mean that at all. Yeferenu is simply a way of saying Yefer Oto. There's no double meaning of Mimenu. Says Rabbi Akiva, I understand that that's your Mashmaut. But nonetheless, once we're ready to learn, as you are, from the menu of hakama, that it means even a partial hakama defines the entire matter, so then the Torah is compared hafara to hakama. If it's true about hakama, that's to be true about hafara. And therefore, although your diuk may be correct, but the whole thing is wrong. Mayaki menu mimenu afirenu mimenu. But Rabbi Yishmael says, but does it say that? It doesn't say yafer mimenu. It says yakin mimenu. By the way, that is a klal in drashot. The Torah Tamima points out in various places that we will use a letter to mean the end of the previous consonant, the beginning of the next. We do it with words also very often. When darshan apostate, this word is part of the previous statement and part of the coming statement. And not repeat the word as we do in English, we will have it. And that is part of that we will never do in Hebrew. So therefore here, we're darshaning as if it's one thing. So Rabbi Yishmael says, it's very true when it comes to Yekimenu. But it doesn't say Yafer Mimenu. Rabbi Akiva says, nonetheless, Maki Shafar ala Hakama. Just like Hakama, we understand to be Mimenu. Afafara Mimenu. So clearly in the Machlokas, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, we identify Rabbi Shmuel as the author of our Mishnah, saying exactly what our Mishnah says. But what's interesting is that there's a third Shita. Omer Pia Barava, Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Well, this is all very nice as a Machlokas between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Zudi, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. Avo Chachamim, Omerim, the Chachamim say, take it in the other direction entirely. Just like we understand that Hafara is not meant to be on the entire neder. So we should say the same thing is true about the Hakama. Because, after all, you are trying to be Dorish a double meaning, right? So the question is, do you have an indication that in this case, let's say in this case the Torah would not have meant to be Yakim Mimenu. If it puts it together with Yeferin, doesn't that create a parallelism that teaches you do not look at the menu element of the Yakim Menu? Because in context, it's just another way of saying Oto. Just like Yeferenu means Yefer Oto, Yakim Menu means Yakim Oto. Therefore, on the contrary, if anything we should say, that the Torah is being makish here, the hakamat the hafara, and just like when it comes to the hafara, ma hafara, ma sheifer hefer. Ooh, now you see, this girsa seems to say very clearly that when we said before that hafara, said in the lashon of Rabbi Shmuel, we said in the Mishnah that the hafara is not chal on the anavim, but it is chal on the teinim. So hefer l'teinim, even though the Mishnah says eino mufar ad shehefer l'teinim al anavim, it doesn't mean eino mufar at all. It means eino mufar l'anavim ad shehefer l'anavim. And that was a machlokis. The Ramban Ritva said not like that. No, actually, it's not chal at all. The hafara. This girsa makes it untenable to say that, because the girsa is saying, look, we're certainly agreed, are we not? That when it comes to the hafara, ma shefer hefer. Now whatever it is that you were made for is certainly a good hafara. True? But only that is the good hafara. And the rest of it isn't a good hafara. So this girsa will not work according to that approach. This girsa works according to the approach that says that the hafara works individually on each piece, whereas the hakama, according to Rabbi Yishmael, works on the entire neder once it addresses one piece. Whereas the Chachamim over here are arguing, and they're saying, just like we're all agreed, that when it comes to the hafara, ma sheifer hefer, af hakama, it's also true, ma shekiyem, kiyem. Okay? Now, the Iran brings the other girsa, which obviously there was another girsa, and he says that the basis of it is the Tosefta. The Tosefta makes it very clear that it says there, Nadram and Hateinim umina anavim, hefer l'teinim velo hefer l'anavim, v'chashcha asura bein l'teinim, bein l'anavim. If that girsa in the Brayta is correct, then it's saying not to learn the Mishnah the way that we just learned it. Doesn't mean, it means what it says. It means, eno mufar means eno mufar at all. The problem is that our Gemara with this girsa seems to be saying the opposite. Therefore, says the Ran, since it's unreasonable to say, we don't have any indication that there's another brayta, and it's unreasonable to say that the Gemara is simply high-handedly ignoring the Braita, it's probably more correct to read in our Gemara the Girsa that we do in fact find, says the Ran, in many of the old editions. We're over there. It says, Avo Chachomim Omrim, Ma Hafara Ma Sheifer Lo Mufar, Afakama Ma Sheikim Lo Kayim. In other words, that just like we're all agreed that if you do a partial Hafara, it's meaningless, so too if you do a partial Hakama, it's meaningless. So basically, if we include the Shita of the Rishonim, we have four different approaches to the Halacha, which is, of course, all of the possible combinations that we have here, at least the way the Pasuk is listed. I mean, obviously, if it would have said it the other way around, it would have had six. But that says we have four. So we have Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Yishmael holds, if you do the Kiyum, even partially, the whole thing is Mekuyan. One Lashon holds, and if you do the Hafara partially, only the part that you do is Mufar. The other Lashon holds, if you do the Hafara partially, none of it is Mufar. Those are the two readings over here. Rabbi Akiva holds, since the Torah has compared the two, we'll have to say that the Hafara is no different than the Hakama, and a partial Kiyum is a Kiyum, and a partial Hafara is a Hafara. Whereas the Chachomim are saying, again, depending on how we understand it, that on the contrary, the given is the Hafara, we understand, cannot mean Mimenu, which either means it works only on its part, so too does the Hakama work only on its part, or the alternative reading is, just like the Hafara won't work unless it addresses the whole, so too the Hakama won't work unless it addresses the whole. Amra konim te'ina. Now, on the other hand, if she says, konim te'inda shani to'emet, konim anava shani to'emet, the repetition of the word shani to'emet makes it two separate nedarim. But if she would say, konim she'eni to'emet, lo anava ve'lo te'ina, and so on, then that would all be one neder, and would be part of the set of nedarim, which is the machlokas, the Chachomim, and Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yishmael, right? Now, we saw earlier that there's a machlokas about whether a vav that chains a neder is considered to be a separate neder for each vav, or whether it's all considered to be one neder until you repeat the lashon of the neder, such as she does over here, eni to emet, again and again. She says, eni to emet. Now, we had exactly that sugya earlier when it came to a Shavuot HaPikadon, where five people come over to a guy, and they say, each one of them says, I gave you a mashkan, you never returned it to me, or I gave you a pikadon, you never gave me my pikadon. Over there we have a machloket. If he says, I swear, I didn't get a pikadon from you, and from you, and from you, and from you. So according to Chachomim, that vav makes it a separate, and he's chayav on each one of those, a separate asham, and so on. Masha'inke, according to Rabbi Shimon, unless he says, Konim that I didn't, I mean, Konim Shvua, Lo Mimcha, Shvua, Lo Mimcha, Shvua, Lo Mimcha, he's only Chayav one, because it would be all considered to be a single netter. Therefore, says Rava Matitin, Rabbi Shimoni, over here where the mission says you have to repeat any Toemet on each one of them, in order for it to be a separate netter, and a Vav is not enough, that is clearly going on, Libra Rabbi Shimon. The Yomer Achio Mar Shvua, this is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon who says it's all one single shvuas hapikadon, only b'chayev him in one korban of shvuas hapikadon, until he makes a separate shvua for each one of them. Continues the Halakha Mishnah. Yodea ani sheyesh nedarim. Havlein yodea sheyesh mefiri. A guy says, look, I know that this is a serious neder. I've never heard of the fact that a husband can be matir, can be made for a serious neder. Wow, that's amazing news. So at that point that he finds out, yafir, because yom shamo doesn't mean the day that his ears hear. It means the day that he hears in such a fashion that he is able to respond. So that's not called yom shamo because it's irrelevant to him, the shmiya. Shmiya, remember, always means a shmiya that is relevant, that penetrates. That's why when the Gemara wants to say, I don't understand what you're saying, or I don't like what you're saying, you say, lo shmi'ali. Obviously, it doesn't mean please repeat it. It means it makes no sense. It's not going into my ears, so to speak, as we say in English. So, v'yom sham'o doesn't mean that he physically hears. But rather, he hears, and that hearing has implications for him. Since over here he never heard of Afarat HaBaal, the hearing is meaningless. How about if he says, Yodea Nishiesh Befirin? Look, I do know that there's a din of Afarat HaBaal. But, you know, there's complicated halachas here. I don't know. I know there's some Nadorim HaBaal can be made for, some Nadorim HaBaal can't be made for. And I didn't know that this is one of those kind of Nadorim that HaBaal can be made for. So, Eini Yodea Shezeh Neder. I didn't know that this is one of the kind of Nadorim that I'm able to be made for. Rabbi Meir Omer Lo Yafer. So Rabbi Meir says he cannot be made for. Now, there's two approaches in Rabbi Meir among the Rishon. One of the approaches is Lo Yafer at all. He can't be made for today when he hears saying, well, if it is one of those, I don't really know, but if it's one of those things, I don't want it. That's not called Yom Shamo, because he didn't know what he was doing. But on the other hand, he can't be made for afterwards either. Because since he knew enough and didn't work out what are the applications of his semi-knowledge, his partial knowledge, we can't put off the Yom Shamo to another day. That was the Yom Shamo that should have triggered a response. The fact that he didn't trigger a response, he didn't take it any further, that's his problem. We certainly can't exclude it from the idea of Yom Shamo. On the other hand, it's not considered to be sufficient Shmi'ah to be an actual hafarav. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know he could be mefer. No, because he's not being oker something where his das isn't there. A dad that's misupak about what it's doing is not a dad by definition. You have to be, dad is commitment by definition. So if I don't have commitment, right? There's no such thing. It's part of enkishuya in the dad. There needs to be a commitment to a thing in order for it to make an impact on it. So, therefore, the according to this, we'll see there's two completely different ways of learning the sugya to come. This way is very clean. If you learn it, according to this, the Chachamim, Omrim Yafer, the Chachamim hold, you can be made fair now. Because that's sufficient, Yidiyah. So in other words, apparently there's a question over here, how to look at Yidiyah. Is a Yidiyah that allows you to respond, even though you may not be sure about what you're doing, but you'd like it to be done if it could be done, that's sufficient, and that's called yidiyah. Which would mean that a miktsat yidiyah is considered to be a yidiyah. In which case, the Chachamim are saying, you can be made for today. But if the day would pass, so inafinami, at that point, you already heard, it's too late. Okay? That's one approach. Now there's another approach that all Rabbi Meir was saying, is lo yafer, you can't be made for tomorrow. Because the yidiyah that you had today is sufficient. So today you could be mefer. Okay, so that's sufficient. According to which he's saying that miksat yidiyah is sufficient. The Chachamim was saying, yafer, they mean you can be mefer tomorrow. Because they hold, since you didn't know it enough, it's not called yidiyah. It's basically inverted. We'll see that the sugya to come makes this approach very difficult. We have to really, really do all types of mental acrobatics in order to make it work out. So let's take the first approach. V'aminu. Below Ra'ut, let's talk about a similar case in which Rabbi Yehuda, who is the Chachamim of Rabbi Meir, is the Bar Plukta of Rabbi Meir, in which Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir stake out exactly opposite positions for themselves. We want to know whether a partial yediyah is considered to be a sufficient response, right? Now over here, Rabbi Meir is saying, well, you can't be made for it. Because, you know, it catalyzed sufficient interest for you to find out, but you didn't. So that makes us yediyah, that's not going to help you to go ahead and to be made for it. Rabbi Yehuda says the opposite. But the problem is that we have a similar situation in Miktsat Yediyah. If we consider the relationship of seeing of a sighted person to a approximation of placement which is done by a blind person, we have a similar situation. Somebody who sees has a concrete and definitive ability to say this is the place. Someone who doesn't see has a fuzzy ability to see a place. So he can sense where somebody is, but he can't place it close enough to aim a gun in that direction. Now, where is that nogea? It's nogea murder. That's exactly where it's nogea. The Torah talks about a case of accidental murder. So we have the chiyuv of galut. It says over there in the pasuk, v'lo ra'ut, he did not see. It's over there, but if somebody throws something at a guy, and he throws him an evan or a bullet, whatever the case may be, v'lo ra'ut, v'yapel alav v'yamot, so then he has to go to galut. What does that v'lo ra'ut imply? Says Rabbi Yehuda, it implies that if he's blind, that he is not included in the parsha. Because below ra'ot means he could have seen but didn't. And since if he's blind, he couldn't have seen anyway. So that's not called a below ra'ot. Rabbi Meir says, on the contrary, it's l'rabot et asuma. That tells me that you don't have to see and that this is sufficient. So in other words, we're assuming over here that the idea is basically a svara. It's a svara. Since Rabbi Meir says, look, the guy basically knows sufficiently, vaguely, to have a fuzzy position of where the person may be. He doesn't have a clear-cut sighted ability, but that doesn't matter. Nonetheless, it's considered like knowing and not paying attention. That's the below route, which means that here Rabbi Meir is saying that is sufficient and a summa would be chayav in galut. Mashenka, when it comes over here to our Mishnah, Rabbi Meir is saying, well, a fuzzy understanding that there are nedarim that can be mufarim, but I'm not sure that this is one of them. That's not considered. Fuzziness is not considered to be clarity. Fuzziness is not considered to be yediyah. So it's in one case he says, miktzat yediyah havi yediyah, and in one case he says, miktzat yediyah lo havi yediyah. Rabbi Yehuda does exactly the same thing. He takes out an opposite position. In our Mishnah, he's saying, assuming that the Chachomim, as it usually is with Rabbi Meir, is Rabbi Yehuda. So he's saying over here, well, listen, as the Mishnah says, it's sufficient. Chachomim omrim yafer. That is sufficient to be able, again, according to the simple pshat we learned, yafer today. We don't say to him, well, you're not sure, you can't do afar. No, enough. You know, if it's one of those adorim, I want it to be mufar. And that's sufficient. And that ought to translate into the case of the blind man. I know Be'erek, somebody's out there. I don't know, you know, that this stone would hit him if I looked, because I can't really tell exactly. But that's considered to be a diya. So why is it the opposite? It's Rabbi Yehuda who says, no, summa is insufficient. So they're exactly the opposite of what they seemed to be saying. Omar Rava, Ha'cha Minyana Dekra, Va'cha Minyana Dekra. Actually, the Ran says that second, this is sort of a falling into our common response of Rava. Rava usually says that. When we have a machlokas in Psukim, there Rava always says, well, you always have to look at it in context. So look at the first one in context, look at the second one in context. But over here, we're not looking at two different Psukim. We're looking at a Svara. Now Rava wants to say, but in one of these cases, we have to understand that the Pasuk is telling us whether it's sufficient in this case. It's not comparing to psukim. Therefore, it says the Ran, it should only say Hakam Yana Dekra. It doesn't say Hakam Yana Dekra, the Hakam Yana Dekra. So, says Rava, actually, they're not arguing in a svar. They're arguing in what the Pasuk means. Rabbi Yehuda says, look, it says by the Rotseach, Beferush, Vasher Yavo et Re'ehu Beyar. What's the point of all of that? Someone who comes into the same forest as another guy. That's a nice story. I could say 1,000 different possible cases. The guy was dumping the garbage and somebody, what does he have to go into a forest for? So what it's coming to tell me now is to broaden the overall context of these dinim. And it's saying that basically called the bar male liyah. I mean, it doesn't say, and the guy crosses the street on Fifth Avenue. It says, the guy walks to the forest. A blind person doesn't cross the street on Fifth Avenue if he knows what's good for him. But he can walk through a forest and appreciate the smells and the sounds. There's no problem. He doesn't have to worry about being knocked over by a car. He's got a stick. What's the problem? So he's certainly bar meal yar, he is. Asumas nami bar meal yar. In which case, if you say below ra'ot, is coming to say, and that includes the suma, because he doesn't see. So, but I already know that. I know that from the yar, right? If the Torah is coming to tell me below ra'ot, it's got to be saying, don't think that when I say the yar, it's coming to be marv with the suma. So therefore, shmamina below ra'ot is pratas suma. In this case, it's telling me when it comes to murder, it's insufficient because you need to have an ability to clearly define what it is that might be dangerous. Over here, you don't know that there's anybody in exactly that area. Whereas Rabbi Meir Savra, on the contrary, Rabbi Meir says, look, it says in the Pasuk that it's Bivli Da'at. Now, Bivli Da'at means someone who could know. And I say, no means to really know. So in that case, a suma cannot really know. He can only fuzzily know. And therefore, we've already excluded the suma by saying the bivli dat. Suma lav bar meidahu. E armit below ra'ot prat the suma. Therefore, the opposite is true. If we're now going to say that below ra'ot excludes the suma, then I ask you, didn't I already know that from bivli dat? So what you have over here is basically two miyutim. We know the Torah never gives two miyutim. So it says two miyutim, it's coming to tell me not to take the initial miyut as a miyut, but to understand rather that we want to be marbe the suma. Because if it's telling me parat the suma mi bli dad nafkele, alashmamina below ra'ot indeed is l'rabot et ha-suma. But we indeed start from an assumption that is precisely the assumption as expressed in this Mishnah. This Mishnah is telling me that without those special limudim, as applies to a case in which I should be more careful, which is certainly the question is, should a suma be more careful? A suma is never able to really be careful. That's the question. If I take my initial stance as given in our Mishnah, and that is that I hold Rabbi Meir, it's not called a Yediyah, so then I'm forced into understanding the below ra'ot as being a inclusive of the Summa. Mashing, if I take Rabbi Yehuda's stance, so then I end up with the opposite conclusion. So, on the contrary, if anything, it's completely consistent. Now, you could see how learning it the other way, it makes a hell out of this Gemara. Because then it turns out, if we're learning the other approach in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Yehuda is saying exactly what he said before. Because it actually turns out to be the inverse in terms of Mitzvah Yehuda. So according to that pshat, you have to look back at the opening of the Mishnah, which we didn't take into consideration at all here. And that's the Yodea initiation of Dorim, Avalini Yodea Shesh Mefirim. We're over there, everybody. So there's no problem with Rabbi Yehuda for sure. We're not going to even ask that. But I'll leave it to Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir agree that the fact that you're any Yodea Shesh Mefirim Yafer? Why? That's based on that analysis in Rabbi Meir. Okay, you can understand that that's a little bit tricky. What it has to do with the pasuk is also difficult. Okay, gentlemen, it's been paused today. Omro kenim te'inim v'yana v'imelu shanito emet kiem le'te'inim kulo kayam hefer le'te'inim enu mufar ad shiafer af la'anavim. Amra konim te'ina shanito emet v'anava shanito emet hare elu shnei nedorim, and each one can be handled separately. Money matnitin, Rabbi Yishmael, the Tani Yishayik, and Menevi Yishayiferena, which means, Amra konim tainim v'anavim elo shanito emet, kiyem le tainim kulo kayam, because it says, yiki menu, which we understand to be a double meaning as mi menu. Whereas hafer le tainim enu mufar, either enu mufar completely, or enu mufar for anavim, achi hafer af lanavim, divi Rabbi Yishmael, because yeferena doesn't have that double meaning of mi menu. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Harehu Omer, Isha Yekimenu, Isha Yeferenu, in which case, if you want to say my Yekimenu means Yakim Mimenu, Af Yeferenu would have to mean Yefer Mimenu. Whereas Rabbi Yishmael says, but it doesn't say that. Miktiv Yefer Mimenu, it says Yeferenu. Rabbi Akiva, nonetheless, Makisha for Alakama, Ma'aka, ma mimenu atafara mimenu. Om Reb Chiya bar Rava, Om Reb Yochanan, this little vignette is only the Divrei Reb Yishmael and Reb Akiva. Ma'ashen ken, the Chachomim actually argue about the whole idea. And they say, Makisha kamala afara. Just as you all are agreed, and ma'afara, ma'ashe fer efer, ma'afakama, ma'ashe kiyem kiyem. Again, there's the other girsa that says, ma'afara, ma'ashe efer lo hufar, afakama, ma'ashe kiyem lo kiyem. Because otherwise we're going to have a problem with the Braita, which implies, or not more than implies, says very clearly, that she would be asura both for Teinim and Anavim, and not be muferet when it comes to the Teinim. Omra kainem te'ina. Omra rava matitin Rabbi Shimoni, the Omra atshio marshvu ala kol achad v'achad, because it's not enough to say ve, it's necessary to say on each one of them she'ani to'emet, anavash ani to'emet, te'inash ani to'emet. Only Rabbi Shimon holds that. Yodea ani she'esh nidorim avaleni yodea she'esh mefirim yafer, when he knows. Yodea ani she'esh mefirim avaleni yodea she'ze of the type of nidorim she'esh mefirim. Rabbi Meir Omer lo yafer, either meaning ever or today. Rabbi Chachomim Omer yafer, meaning tomorrow. So, Raminu. Belo ra'ot. Belo ra'ot. Here they seem to reverse the shita. Belo ra'ot prat the summa, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Because the summa anyway is belo ra'ot. Whereas Rabbi Meir Omer, the rabotika summa. So it seems that over here Rabbi Yehuda is saying miktzat yediya is not sufficient, whereas in the Mishnah he said, as the Chachomim, yafer, and Rabbi Meir is saying miktzat yediya v'summa is sufficient, whereas in the Mishnah he said lo yafer. How do you explain that? Omar Rabba Acham in Yonah Dikra. Rabbi Yehuda savar gabi rotzeach k'tiv asher yavod re'eu biyar. Now on its own that would mean kol debar me'al liyar, which of course would include summa. Summa nami bar me aliyaru. And if you want to say that belora ot in this case means what it appears to mean, which is l'rabotet asumma, but I already know that miyar nafkele, alashma mina, belora ot would have to mean prat the summa. Rabbi Meir Savar, on the contrary, it says bivli da'at, kol to bar me da, and since according to me, da'at means entirely, asumma is lav bar me da. In which case, Ihamrit below Ra'ot is coming to tell me prat v'suma, that's something that I already would have known from Bilidat, Mibilidat, Nafkale, by the very assumptions that I made in our Mishnah. El Shma Mina, below Ra'ot, when it comes to the Sugya of Ritzicha, is indeed the Rabotet Asuma, which again makes sense, because the whole idea of Ritzicha Bishogeg would be to be extra careful, and it's sufficient to demand that extra care if you have any ability to sense that somebody is around. If you just say, well, you know, doesn't sound like he's exactly under my window when I drop the stone on him, you know, so maybe I'll miss. You know, what kind of chat is that? So therefore, in that case, the summa would be chayav. Of course, the implications for the sugya in Makot are immense, but I suppose we'll have to wait till we get there. And there the sugya is a bit different. It comes out differently.